The General Failure Podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 288 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of July 6, 2021. This week, we waste our money, E3 takes a mulligan, and you can have a racist develop your code. I'm Dom, and I got with me CJ.
Hey-o.
And TJ.
I'm confused about the racist part, but okay.
Yeah, we'll get to it. You always are, you racist piece of shit.
I'm racist against the Eskimo people.
good times.
I don't think you don't say Eskimo anymore.
Yeah. So that is racist.
There you go.
God damn it, TJ. Now we have to start the entire show over because you're a racist cunt.
Yep.
All right. Let's start off like we usually do with some what are you playing. CJ, what are you playing?
So I wanted to talk about my Gamefly experience, which I kind of mentioned a little bit because
it's 2010 again.
Because it's 2010 again. First off, just being completely surprised that Gamefly is still
exists.
A service.
Yeah.
And I did I did a month free and then I paid for 1 month, which was like, I think $16 for that month. And in that time I was going to rent 3 games with Mario Golf being the last one, but it ended with the point of I was having too much fun with Luigi's Mansion that I just borrowed it from Greg. And then returned that, canceled my subscription, and bought Mario Golf because I knew I would want to keep playing that and that it would be worth it in the end for the money
having
spent.
Having too much fun jerking it with Gooigi.
Yeah, too much fun. That Gooigi. Whereas my kid calls it the Goo Guy. Because I want to play that Goo Guy game. Yeah,
he does. That's what I called. Here. Yeah, that's what I called Father Tim at Bible camp.
Oh. Father Tim. So anyway, so my experience with my 2 months of Gamefly was kind of funny. I was like, okay, you get the month free. And I was like, this is cool. You get to try it out. I rented 2 games. Both games I felt took almost a week to get to me. The first game, so I got Pokemon Snap and I felt like that took a week. And I kind of attributed it to, you know, the first game being sent to me and
right,
all that.
Being new.
And also just shipping
also
in general.
A new game.
Yeah, also a new game. I returned it and it took almost a week, if not a full week, to get Luigi's Mansion, which again is not a new game.
No, that should have been to you in like 20 minutes.
Yeah. And
where's the warehouse based at?
Pennsylvania. The one that I had.
A
I think
week?
They have.
It's because it goes through Jersey. That's why. The second it touches Jersey,
it gets lost there.
Yeah.
You have to sanitize it.
I've lost so many packages through Jersey.
Oh, all the Jersey. You shouldn't have to. I mean, you can just go up PA, you know, into New York and cut across.
But they send the Jersey first because that's where all the shipping places are because no one lives there. It's just trash and warehouses.
Just North Jersey. Yeah. There's North Jersey and then there's Philadelphia. That's it. That's South Jersey. Anyway, the second time I turned it, but it was still like a slow ass return to get it back. And, you know, that's the whole thing of like you have to send it in. And then once they get confirmation, they're supposed to send it to me right away that they received it at the post office. And I don't think that was really the fucking case. But anyway, that was all like fine. I got the games. The games came in a good condition, I think, like. Returning them was easy. Getting the games, like all that was easy. Setting up my queue and everything. They do that cool like game lock thing where if I turn the game in at a certain point, they'll mail it to me. But like this is for like new games. But this I didn't test because I just bought Mario Golf because I didn't want to pay another $15 just to like possibly buy the game anyway and then feel like I spent $75 on Mario Golf. But
you'd also think they'd be quicker since they've been doing it for like 15 years now.
Absolutely.
And since they have to have like what, like 100 subscribers, like
but
it's
also
not like they have a whole lot of people to go out to.
But also the thing that bothered me about the game lock thing was like it said if you return your game within like I think a week or 2 weeks of when you're supposed to get like the next new game, they'll mail it to you on release date. They won't mail it to you to get to you by release date. Oh, so
right, they'll mail it out when it releases.
Probably because they can't.
Yeah,
they can't figure it out. It's not like Amazon, who has their own delivery people and can time things correctly. Right. They're at the whims of USPS and you're fucked at that point. So
yeah. But what I really want to talk about with my experience was ending it and how I went. I literally went through the the 7 stages of grief. With
5 stages of grief, you mean?
Five stages? Yeah, with 5 stages of grief with Gamefly. And I wanted to write it down as I went through it. I'm going to try and remember it as much as possible. But basically, I went in, I clicked cancel.
It's 7 stages.
It is 7 stages. Fuck you,
it's
TJ.
5? What are you talking about?
TJ just skips the guilt and the acceptance.
No, there's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. 5.
Okay, so there's denial, then there's guilt, then there's anger and bargaining. Anger and bargaining are the same thing. Depression, upward turn, reconstruction, working through, and acceptance and hope.
The original book by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross referenced the 5 stages of grief. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance.
That lady's a bitch.
Apparently it's been modified. Because now there's shock. First it's shock, then denial.
And then awe.
And then there's depression. Yeah. And then it's anger.
I have
bargaining.
2 stages of grief, shock and awe.
Depression testing. So you do QA for your grief. And then you do acceptance. Seeking realistic solutions.
Press all the buttons.
Yeah. Anyway.
The final thing is UATing your grief.
There it is. I knew it. I fucking knew it. So anyway, I clicked cancel membership. And that's when the first stage of denial came through. And completely followed by anger, where they were like, are you sure, you know, well, first it's like, are you sure you want to cancel it? I'm like, yes, cancel it. And then it's anger, where they're like, if you cancel now, you're not going to get any of your money back for the remaining time. Your membership ends immediately. And I'm like, whoa, like, you need to slow your roll, but it doesn't matter, I'm canceling anyway. And then the bargaining happens. They're like, okay, what if we give you like 15% off or something like that
for next your next month.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't 50%. It was, they're like, what if we upgrade you? So you're going to still pay the $15, but we'll upgrade you to the like 2 discs a month or whatever for free for your next month. And then after that, you have to pay that, you know, upgraded price. Of course. And I was like, no, I still want to cancel. I'm not going to do that shit. Like, I don't. And they're like, okay, what if we give you a free month? Then will you stay? And I'm like, no, I'm still not going to stay. Even if you give me another free month, like, there's no other games. Like, all the games I want to play after this don't come out until like August or the end of July.
You give me 2 discs and a year free and I'll stay. And you got to bargain with them back and see if they'll cave.
And then just like TJ, they never get to acceptance. And I think they just stormed off. And I'm just like, no, cancel the fucking thing. They're like, well, fine. You're still not getting, you know, you're still ending now. You don't get any more time. Like, that's fine. There's 2 days left. Like, I canceled it.
Go fuck off.
2
days before. They rage quit on you.
Yeah. But I think that's fucking hilarious that, like, if you cancel, like, 2 weeks before you're done, it's immediate. Like, you don't get refunded anything.
Yeah.
You don't get to finish out your, you know, your month or anything. Like, you have to turn, you have like a 2 weeks, I think, to turn your game back in that you have. And I was just
fucking
like,
fling that bitch across the street. Fuck them.
It was just amazing. Right? It was just amazing. Like, just like, I had to click that cancel button, seriously, I think 5 times before they finally were like, all right, we get it. We get it. You're gone. Good riddance.
That's insane.
I swear it's probably just one of those things where they try and make it as like difficult and painful as possible, just so you give up, like trying to talk to somebody at the post office. Like, you call the post office and it's like, you want to talk to an agent? Yes or no? Yes. You said no. Is there anything else I can help you with? And I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Agent.
Like,
that's
what they do. Yeah. It's the worst.
So in the end, would I recommend Gamefly? No.
No.
Do the free month if there's a game you really want to play.
Or is anyone listening even thought about Gamefly in the last 15 years? No.
I didn't want to remind.
I'm surprised they still exist.
I didn't want to remind anybody that Gamefly exists and then have this like resurgence, you know, because our podcast is so listened to that so many people are going to go out and sign up for Gamefly.
But that's the thing. Gamefly.
Yeah, if Gamefly wants to negotiate, we can get all that's of our true. Listeners to sign up for Gamefly. But if they're going to be a bitch about it, then we can just cancel them and they don't get their money back either.
And that takes us to this week's sponsor, Gamefly.
Yeah. Blockbuster. Yeah. Blockbuster.
Circuit City.
Sign up for your free month of Blockbuster. Get.
We start doing that. Every episode is sponsored by another dead company.
If you use our code GenFailcast, you'll get 50% off your first VHS rental.
Remember, get a free GenFail sweater at Caldors.
For all of our younger listeners.
Fuck.
Anyway.
Yeah. Google it. Bing it. All right. So I have been playing a new game that just came out called Scarlet Nexus. It is a game made by Namco Bandai Namco. Just came out last week or the week before. Mm-hmm. It is available for basically everything at this point, like your PlayStations, PS4, PS5, all the Xbox systems and PC. It is like an action JRPG.
Action Jackson.
Action Jackson game. It has like kind of Devil May Cry gameplay to it. So it's like a lot of sword wielding, but then you mix in superpowers with it. So you choose one of two characters. They each have their own separate story that comes together and they meet up at certain points. And whichever character you choose has telekinesis. So that's your main character is sword playing telekinesis, which is just like, I mean, this is literally my entire life, so
yeah,
you know, it's right up my alley. And then you pair up with other people who have like pyrokinesis and clairvoyance, and somebody can teleport, somebody can turn invisible, and you use their powers. They can basically like, you know, like grant you their powers temporarily during battle, so you can teleport around, or you can like have your sword with fire and stuff. And, you know, it's typical. Each enemy is, you know, weak to something different.
Yeah.
It's a super fun game. Like
from
the gameplay
what I saw,
is,
it looked very JRPG. Like it is very one of those games.
I mean, yeah, that's why I said it was a JRPG.
Yeah.
Cause it is, it's just not turn-based. But like the combat is super addicting because you can like there's combos that you can do. You have like, you know, light attacks and heavy attacks, and then you can mix in telekinesis by like throwing objects or like doing super moves and stuff like that in between. And it's so like seamless that you can just create really cool combos. And there's a whole skill tree that you can build out to, you know, enhance the damage that you do or give you, you know, more uses of your telekinesis, stuff like that. So you get a big skill tree to do, and, you know, new equipment and all that stuff. It's, yeah, it's very RPG like. So there's times where I had to like, you know, farm for items so that I can upgrade my weapons for my characters and stuff. You get side quests to do and everything. It's gotten pretty good reviews because a lot of people are really into the story. The story is pretty cool. You're basically, you know, part of like this armed forces that people with powers essentially get recruited into and more or less forced into doing, because if you have powers, you're going to be on their superhero force.
And of course, you're like a teenager because.
Yeah. Oh, because JRPG. It's Japan. Yeah. You're a teenager. There's a lot of like that very Japanese feel where, yeah, you're a young guy who's playing and every female character in the game is like immediately in love with you and is like fighting for your attention and stuff. Yep. It's just like it's got all that stuff that's pretty awkward for Western audiences. But it's cool. The story is pretty interesting. There's a lot of like twists and turns, so you have to expect a lot of not knowing what the hell is going on, because like that's just how it is.
Yeah.
But you know, it's got a lot of that like JRPG feel to it, where characters just tell you how they're feeling. Like instead of acting how they're feeling, they'll just tell you, and like it's everybody talks like super polite and stuff, and it's like kind of weird because it's just like. I've never been to Japan, but like here in America, people don't fucking talk like this. Like people do not have conversations like this at all.
Well, people in Japan also don't really talk like that either. It's just anime and JRPGs and stuff are just very like this.
Yep. And all the cutscenes are very anime. They look like kind of like a comic book, the way that they move and everything. But like
it's a manga.
Yeah.
But also
it's in color.
You white bitch.
When was the last time you heard of a person who actually talked about their feelings?
Never. You just shut it down and then one day you beat your wife. Like that's how it works.
Just shove it deep down into your you know, your stomach until it just turns into
A tumor.
Until it turns into a tumor. It's not a tumor.
But this game, it's super fun. I definitely recommend it. There's been a lot of articles recently written about it too, about how it's definitely like a hidden gem and people need to pay attention to it because it's definitely going to become a cult classic. I definitely recommend it. TJ, there's no reason for you not to play it. Like it's got Devil May Cry, which is right up your alley.
It is still like MSRP price right now. So I'll probably wait until it's on sale.
Yeah, it is still $60, and it will go on sale eventually, so it's probably a good idea to wait for that. It might end up on Game Pass at some point, so maybe wait for that too, but it's totally worth checking out. I'm probably about 10 to 12 hours into it at this point, which I do know because the Xbox app now has the ability to see how long you've played a game for, which is great because the one thing that I can immediately tell you is broken is the playtime in the game.
Right.
Because it does not stop counting if the app is in sleep mode.
I like it.
Even if the console is off.
Oh.
So if your console has, you know, like power saving mode, or you go into standby so that it starts up quicker the next time, and it's technically on and the game is just like in sleep, you'll come back and you'll, next time you save, there's 10 hours added to your game. So right now it says that I have like 58 hours of game played and I've only played like 10 hours because I watched all of season one of The Boys one day and the clock was just fucking counting while the app was asleep because it was on quick resume. So
we looked at some of the times for the games we've played.
Why don't you talk about that?
We looked at Warframe and it got sad.
Oh no.
Oh, no. What was it? 54 days?
Hold on. What platform did you look at it on? Because you played on more than
just
PC.
For the Xbox, which the Steam version is different. So,
I was going to say, you also played on Steam, don't you?
He had like 1,300 hours on Xbox.
1,300 hours on Xbox, and then add another 400 plus hours from Steam. So
you can look at that right now. Yeah. You can open up your Steam and see how long you've played.
I have basically played
like 2,000 hours of Warframe.
Yeah, I have about 2,000 hours of Warframe.
Nice. I like
Thomas, like an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably have like an hour myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was just
I played more on PC than I did on Xbox, that's for sure.
There was also games where we were like, we definitely played a lot more than this, and it didn't show correctly.
Yeah, some of it was really weird. There's some things that like the Xbox One version versus like the Xbox 360 version of the games had separate timers.
GTA 5.
So GTA 5 was one of them. So it is like, oh, I only have like, you know, 30 or 40 hours of GTA 5. And I was like, that is complete bullshit. And it was because I put probably 150 hours into the Xbox 360 version.
Yeah.
And TJ had like hundreds of hours of GTA Online.
Because I like fucking played nothing but it when it first came out. And then it got shitty.
Yeah.
Because they
got
just
shitty.
Made...
It seems like you hated it from day one. You just put hundreds of hours into a game that you. It's like it was you basically hate fucked yourself with that game.
Yeah. It was just. It just got stuck behind a paywall for that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have 9 days of game play in GTA 5 on the Xbox.
Jesus Christ.
I've earned a total of $1 billion. $1.238 billion.
That's fucking insane.
I probably have like $40.
But I will say, I have 4 days worth of playtime in MLB The Show already.
Yeah.
And that came out on April 20th. So, so that's a little embarrassing. I'm not going to lie.
We got problems.
Yeah, we do have problems.
If you
want to
see where your problem areas are on...
but like there's plenty of things that like I thought I would have had way more than like I have like two almost 3 days worth of Sea of Thieves played. I thought I would have had way more. Yeah. I played a lot of that game.
Yeah.
Thought I would have had more. But yeah, it was fun just like looking up how much time we've played some of these games and like being like, oh fuck my life. Like I gotta do something else.
Fuck my life in two pieces.
Hey, I got almost 2,000 hours on a quote unquote free game.
How much money have you spent on this free game?
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
I do want to know.
Probably about the same amount of time I've had with the game.
$1,300 worth of fucking
cosmetics. It's a decent amount. Yeah. But it's over 6 years, I would say. The game's been out for seven years, I would say. So. And I've put
but there's people who are like, why would you ever spend, you know, $60 and buy Madden every single year? That's pretty much what you've done with Warframe.
Yeah, but my game definitely evolves and gets better while Madden does not.
Let's say there's like Madden or like NPA 2K something or that soccer game. You're paying what? $60?
FIFA?
FIFA?
Yeah, that's it. $60 over 6 years. What is that? $360?
Yep.
Do you think
plus tax? So let's say $400.
$400.
You think you spent $400 on Warframe? Because I do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There
you go. You get a 75% off coupon for platinum, and you're like, well, I might as well spend like $25, get $100 worth of stuff.
Might as well dump a little more money into these ones and zeros.
I mean, the thing is. Give me the happy drugs. I want to support the game and the people that make it. That's the big thing. Yeah. And the only way for games like this to make it is to keep supporting them.
I mean, what else you could do with that money, TJ? You could support charities.
I could support a Twitch streamer.
You could.
Because I have $10.
Look, for just 5 cents a day, you can help feed this poor OnlyFans.
Did you see that lady? I think it was on Twitch, where she was like bitching at her audience, and she was like, "If you have $10 a day to spend on this, then you have $10 a day to give to me for a streamer." And it was like, "Excuse me,
Invader V," I think it was, and she was just like, "If you don't have $10 to give me, then you should be working. Why are you on Twitch?"
Yeah,
I bet there are plenty of people out there that love to be spoken to like that. And
I'm sure there are.
100%. Well, that's why OnlyFans exists.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
So check out our OnlyFans at onlyfans.com/genfailmommymilkers.
I wanted to make a really bad joke at the beginning, but I never got my chance because when I saw that you wrote down you're playing Scarlet Nexus, I really thought we were going to talk about like Scarlet Witch. Yeah, I know it does now, but I thought we were going to talk about like some Marvel thing with Scarlet Witch or something.
Nope.
Is it bad that I have 2,000 hours into Warframe and I don't have all the achievements?
Wow.
I'm missing some of those achievements.
I'm missing like 1,400 points worth of achievements.
Yeah. There's what we saw. Sea of Thieves has like 3,700 gamer score at this point.
Warframe has 3,400.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is nuts.
It's crazy. Because
most normal $60 games are 1,000. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah. But for games that evolve constantly and are online, they are
but like
to
some
get
games like just don't give out achievements. Like there was a couple games I have where I put like 50 hours into it and I have like 6 achievements or something. And then I have Resident Evil 8 where I have like whatever it was like 73 or 78% of the achievements. And I've only played that game, you know, for probably 10 hours, 12 hours, maybe. Like
I'm looking at some of these achievements I'm missing and there's no fucking way.
There's definitely 80,000 real life dollars.
There's definitely some of these I've gotten. They haven't clicked off. But no, there's one where it's as a squad or solo complete a level 30 or higher void exterminate mission with only headshots. So kill 100 dudes on a board.
Oh,
with
I've done that.
Only headshots.
Yeah, I did that.
Uh huh.
You just got to get good, pussy.
That's 0.1% of people unlock that one.
It's insane.
Also, just look at your Xbox thing and marvel at all the shit.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just crazy to see all the shit. What were we talking about?
You know, over the past 10, 15 years of, you know, Xbox Live, like knowing how much you played.
Yeah, especially us. We've had it for a very long time, so.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years I've been on Xbox.
I think I just hit 15 or 14, maybe. I think maybe I signed up in 2007. I don't remember. It's been a while.
I know I'm around there as well with Steam as well.
Steam has been 15 years for me.
Oh, my God. I have 575 out of the 3,100 gamer score for Sea of Thieves. 18%.
Yeah. It's nuts how much
there's
score
too much.
I have 3 days and 20 hours into it.
So that's more time than me.
Really?
I think so.
I'm surprised by that. Interesting.
Yeah, I was too. Like, I'm pretty surprised by how little time I had in a lot of these games.
I am 15 years in the Steam.
Yeah, I think we probably all are.
Yeah.
2005.
Yeah, mine's probably 2005. Yeah.
Well, we also like didn't grab on the Steam right in the get-go because we were all pissed that you had to use Steam to play Counter-Strike.
I mean,
and it didn't work.
But yeah, and I was about to say though, like even before Steam, we all had the Valve launcher since like 2000, what, 2003? Never
it
that.
It fucking sucked.
I only have 2 days and 5 hours in Sea of Thieves somehow.
Huh.
Wow.
Don't know.
I have almost 2 days on. That really surprises me.
See, and now we just get lost checking our time in all these games.
I have 10 days.
Do you really?
10 days.
Shit, TJ.
Oh, well, because I played a ton when it first came out.
Yeah,
and then
that's true.
Didn't play at all and then played a ton later when we all started playing. I don't know how I have 10 hours, though. That doesn't make any sense.
10 hours? You mean 10 days?
10 days. Sorry.
10 days. Wow.
I mean, that's only 240 hours.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a fuckload.
Well, I mean, think about fucking Warframe and how many, you know, I'm sitting at 2,000 hours.
Insane.
Four days of my life wasted. Minecraft Windows.
So if you're listening, go check out the Xbox app and check out how much time you've wasted in your life.
For real.
And still waste more because I'm probably going to play Warframe after this. So
now that we're talking about it, we might as well go play it.
I mean, new update came out, so I got to get
into
Warframe.
That's true. I kind of wanted to play that, but maybe. All right, let's move on to some nerd news. Let's get off Xbox. TJ, you got some news for us.
There's all these recently added games now. Dude, Gang Beast is on here now.
Gang Beast is on there. We got to play Gang Beast.
Awesome. We got to play Gang Beast.
And Farm Simulator 19 comes out in a week.
Eat a dick. EA D&D. Play is... No, well, EA Play first. EA announced a four-event thing that they're doing called EA Play. It's going to take place from July 13th. 19th, 20th, and 22nd.
What?
Yeah, it's really spaced out weird.
July 13th, July and then 13th, they skip?
Then the 19th, and then the 20th, and then the 22nd.
Why? Weird. I have actually a really good idea. Why don't they just do July 18th to July 21st like a normal fucking
you
company?
Think so. So this is a bunch of different kind of panels almost. So the July 13th one will be at 10 a.m. Pacific. That'll be EA Loves Independent Studios. It'll be a panel with a bunch of their independent studio heads, some developers, some marketing, stuff like that. From It Takes Two, Lost in Random, Knockout City will have someone there as well. And they'll be talking about the industry and dealing with EA probably. July 19th at 4 p.m., another weird-ass time. This will be Madden NFL 2022 All Access Scouting, how the community is shaping Madden NFL 2022.
Huh.
Footnote, they're not. We're doing the same shit we did last year.
Then July 20th at 10 a.m. Pacific is more EA Sports. They have not said a thing about what EA Sports are going to be in there?
They're bringing back baseball. I bet your ass.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, definitely. What else are they going to do?
Yeah, that's true.
If they're not going to announce it, there's rumors that they're bringing it back. MVP baseball is coming back. Book it.
Yeah. And then July 22nd is the actual EA Play Live, which they'll be showing off a lot of the newer games, including Battlefield 2042, stuff like that. There's also, I think, a day of talking about revival of Dead Space as well. And then there's also a panel called The Future of First Person Shooters, which will most likely just be talking about Battlefield 2042, which I'm fine with. So check out these rando panels that make no sense. Two of them are about sports. One's an independent one. And then I don't know when the shooter one is, but the main one is July 22nd at 10 a.m. Pacific, which would
shooter.
Be what time? 1 o'clock.
10 a.m. Pacific would be 1 o'clock.
One o'clock Eastern specific time. So,
yep.
Check that out.
Eastern specific.
Eastern specific time. Also, apparently hosting it will be WWE star Austin Creed.
Cool.
We'll see, that makes me want to watch it, but at the same time, like, I would like to see him, but I wouldn't like to see EA things. So.
I mean, they'll have Battlefield, so that'll be cool. Mostly, what they've said is it's going to be a 40-minute kind of panel type thing, and it'll be Battlefield 2042, updates for Apex Legends, first game for gameplay for Lost and Random, and a bunch of other stuff as well that they haven't announced.
Yeah, so, hard pass.
I might watch that one or the one.
I might see some of it, but like you don't really need to show me anything else about Battlefield 2042. Like Battlefield,
yeah, I want it.
I'm in.
Yeah, I just want it at this point. Like I don't need. Yeah. You've shown me enough that I'm hooked. You don't need to like oversaturate here.
Yeah, I don't need to see what the new updates in multiplayer are and all that stuff. Like, just release it and let me play it.
Well, by the time you hear this, it's already happened. But the EA Play Live 2021, the future of FPS stream, is airing Thursday, July 8th, 2021. So the 8th, the 10th, the 19th, the 20th, and 21st, I think.
They can't even do dates right.
Yeah, it's
EA.
A weird
what the hell,
like,
man?
Spread for no apparent. I don't know why they're doing a Thursday. God
they
fucking
dumb.
Knows. Yeah. So go check
you
that
know who
out.
Who else has a weird spread?
Your mom.
Your mom.
I'm telling.
Nice. she knows already.
So speaking of panels as well, D&D Live, which takes place every year, it's kind of D&D's E3 where they just kind of announce everything that's coming up. They also do games. They have special
games.
Guests come on, and they have
I love games.
Mostly celebrities that come on and do games. This year, G4 will be presenting D&D Live, which if you haven't heard of G4, go back in time to 2004.
Sorry, you mean Tech TV?
Yeah, Tech TV before then, G4 before then, after that, and then G4's
guys,
back.
Are we getting old?
Yes, yes, we are. We were talking about mortgages before, you old fuck.
Shut up.
So people like Kevin Pereira and Adam Sessler are back. They'll be...
Oh, my God.
They'll be playing some of the games. Some people also playing. Patton Oswalt will be playing. Allison Snyder is going to be playing. These are different games. There's about four games going on, and in between and before and after it, they'll be announcing different things.
I think there's a couple of these that I'm looking at that I'm like, wow, this looks like some, like it's a lot of people I know and then a bunch of people I don't know.
Yeah.
Like the Patton Oswalt one.
It's like mostly like,
yeah,
famous people and then either comedians or like internet stars.
Yeah.
And we're kind of out of loop on those. Like there's one with Deborah Ann Woll and Seth Green.
Yeah, the Seth Green one, like I think it's the last one I would be the most interested in because I know almost everybody. I do not know who the host is.
Wait,
I don't know who Kate Welch is, but Black, Reggie Watts, like Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes, Lord Lapkus,
yeah, like huge, huge names. They also have one. They've been really pairing up with WWE in the last few years.
Maybe that's a special guest on the last one.
That might be it. Well, no, there's a separate WWE game, more or less.
Oh, okay.
It's got Xavier Woods, Ember Moon, Mace, and Tyler Breeze, but it's being hosted by...
Tyler Breeze doesn't work for WWE anymore. He got fired last week.
Nice.
So, wow. Hashtag Whoops. Awkward.
This is WWE, so did he get fired, or did he actually
get fired?
Yes,
he got fired. He got released from the company. He no longer works there.
This isn't like a quote-unquote fired...
No, yeah. This is not kayfabe firing. Every month they just release a bunch of their wrestlers because they don't want to pay money to people.
I like it. Well,
the cool thing is hosting that is, I think her name is Abra Iyengar, who is currently hosting the 8th episode special for Critical Role. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, she took over for Matt Mercer, so you know that she's fucking good. So I'm excited about that one.
And that's the one he's the playing one with, right?
No, I don't think Matt's playing in any of them. Oh no, the one for Critical Role, yes, he's playing in that game. He's not playing in any of the D&D live stuff.
No, the one that
she's
she
done
was
that before
DMing.
Too. Yeah, the one she's DMing right now, it's still going on. I think they're in their second episode. I have to hop on that shit. But I mean, it's really cool. They also announce all the stuff that's coming up in the next year, which is really awesome. It's kind of a sneak preview of what's coming up. They show off the new books, new adventures, minis, anything Wizards of the Coast is going to come out with, they're going to show off. So it's really cool. You can check it out streaming on Peacock, and G4 and D&D's Twitch and YouTube channels as well. That will be the July 16th and 17th. You can check it out in between those days.
If you
realistically, I just hope that they force these people to play Dark Alliance and everyone can sit there and watch them awkwardly try and say nice things about it.
They will. I mean, there's a bunch of YouTubers who've been promoted to play that game and make it in a good light because they know they're fucked currently. Yeah. So
I'm curious, TJ.
Yes, ma'am.
Since you have, I think, all of, if not most of the books.
I'm missing one, but I don't want it. So
which one is that?
It's the what's the podcast one? Not the Critical Role one, the other one.
Oh, I don't know.
Shit.
Is it it's an official book though?
Yeah, it's an official book. It's for another podcast.
Doesn't matter. I don't care. Is there anything during this presentation that you are hoping to hear announced?
I mean, I'd like more information on the two books that were announced for the rest of the year. The Wild Beyond the Witchlight, which is apparently supposed to be a Feywild adventure, which will
be awesome
to see something in another, kind of not universe, but another realm, which would be dope. And then the next one after that, which I'm really excited for, is Strixhaven, A Curriculum in Chaos, which is a Magic the Gathering, again, another one that's crossed over. But this is supposed to be like pretty much Harry Potter and D&D. Like, you're just supposed to be a bunch of fucking wizards in a school.
Wizards.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's based off of the Magic the Gathering kind of stuff. And the cool thing is, now, the newest edition in Magic Gathering is a D&D crossover, which is even doper, which I've thought about grabbing some cards just to be like, this is cool as hell.
I'm surprised it took so long. It's all Wizards of the Coast in the end.
Yeah, I think because they waited for like the blend to happen, and it was a lot easier to blend the Magic the Gathering over to D&D than the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of story there. Yeah,
yeah, because Magic the Gathering, it would be hard to take all the D&D stuff and kind of mix it in. They've done it well. Apparently, there's like ways to like make maps and stuff,
books and whatnot. So I wouldn't. Yeah. The settings are there. The characters are there.
Yeah,
it's just all planeswalker stuff, you know?
Yeah, that crazy shit.
It's just converting everything, you know, from
to
magic
make it
to
work. I think they just didn't want to lose what D&D made D&D. I don't think they just wanted to transfer over, like, here's some cool monsters and some magic cards and stuff like that. Like, they wanted to take something from D&D. And I think there is, like, a way to build, like, a like a dungeon almost in Magic now. So it's really cool.
You are right, though. It says right here on, at least on the Wild Beyond the Witchlight, it says tune into D&D Live 2021 on July 16th and 17th for details.
The book's been announced because it's the next one, but to get more info, we're going to wait till then. And Strixhaven, I think, got leaked, so they put out a little bit of information, but not a ton. So we're kind of just waiting. They'll probably show more minis and stuff like that. They showed some of the giant minis last year, so I'm excited to see.
I really like that alt cover.
Oh, for the Wild Beyond the Witchlight?
Yeah, it's really looks like a tattoo, like a really awesome tattoo.
I have a problem and order the alt covers for every book.
Yes.
But the thing is, remember to order from your local comic book store because it's the same price. If you go through, sometimes if you go through Amazon or different sellers, sometimes they'll sell it for an upticked price and they shouldn't. So, the Wild Beyond the Witchlight is supposed to be in stores September 21st, 2021. And then I think Strixhaven is set in November, I think, but we'll probably get more information as well. Mm-hmm. Also, they usually one of the games plays from either an upcoming book or a book that just got released. So I'm excited because the last one that just came out was Fenn Richting's Guide to Ravenloft, which is all like the build your creepiest fucking nightmares kind of shit. So that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or anything from the Feywild. So I'm excited for all this stuff. Check it out July 16th and 17th on G4's and D&D's YouTube and Twitch channels and Peacock as well. I don't know. I know Peacock streams stuff, but I've never used it.
Peacock has WWE Network, so it's probably connected to that somehow.
There's a lot of people on here. There's YouTubers, comedians, wrestlers. I mean, it's a fucking bunch. And they put on really good shows, so I would definitely go check it out.
Check that shit out.
And G4.
Yeah, and if you are going to pay for Peacock, may I highly recommend Rutherford Falls. It's a pretty funny show.
Rutherford Falls is fucking awesome.
It's a great show. I really recommend it.
Rockford Files?
You got it.
Yes, Rockford Files.
I figured.
Nailed it.
Got it.
All right. Let's take a quick break to line our pockets with cash. We will be right back. And we're back. So let's end our show with some geek on, geek off. I'll go first. This past week, probably a couple days ago, Nintendo finally introduced their newest Switch model. And everyone is mad.
Are you shocked?
I don't know. I'm not shocked, but at the same time, I'm a little bit shocked because people were expecting Switch or Nintendo to unveil a Switch that was 4K and like all this other crazy stuff. And to expect that from them is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because Nintendo has on their base consoles never put out a more powerful console mid-generation.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, it's usually less powerful or has less features. Like,
it's usually a light or a smaller one or something.
Like, the Wii is the first one that I can remember that had like a mid-generation update, and they took out the GameCube support for it. So it was worse than the original model.
They usually don't update anything like speed or graphics wise. They're not really the forefront of graphics. That's why
they basically they slap like Mario or Zelda decals on it and sell it for full price. Like that's kind of just the thing that they do.
And
they
do buy it.
Yep. They do update handhelds. Like, you had the Game Boy Pocket, and then you had all the different Game Boy Advances, the DSi, the new 3DS that was a little more powerful. So the handhelds,
the
3DSs
were a different story though. They every six months put out a new one and made it something different. But 9 times out of 10, it was just a smaller one. Like, it didn't really push the it never pushed the boundaries at all.
Right. It never like felt like what, you know, Microsoft and Sony do with like the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X and you know, all that. Like, that's just not something Nintendo does. So keeping up with their stuff, that's exactly what they didn't do this time. But they announced a new Switch model, which has a 7-inch OLED display instead of the 6.2-inch LED display that they have now. It is still 720p. So there's no resolution upgrade from that. It's 720p, but you'll get some better colors on it because OLED just has a little bit better picture.
I want it just for the giant stand on the back.
Yeah, that's the thing. The stand that they have on the original Switch is a pile of garbage. Yeah. It's horrendous. Yeah. It feels like a cheap toy. The new stand is really nice. Yeah. It is as wide as the console is. It has multiple different angles that you can view it at, and it just looks way sturdier. So that, to me, is a huge upgrade. It did double the internal storage from 32 to 64 gigs, so that's good, but also that's still not really enough space.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, Nintendo games aren't also usually as big as the Xbox because they're not dealing with the 4K or 2K or any of that
stuff.
Right,
and they also optimize things. They generally optimize things better.
Yeah.
Because
they can.
So some games... Right. Some games look just as good on, not many, probably like five at most games look just as good on Switch as it does on other consoles, but it's still like smaller file size.
Yeah.
It can fit on their 32 gig cartridges for the most part too. So you get an expanded storage, which is nice, but you can also, I assume, in this still put expandable storage in. I have a 512 gig micro SD card that I bought for like $60 that I put in there.
256.
It's great.
Most of the times you can find bundles at any store you buy a Switch in with an expanded memory card. So it's
The new dock has a wired Ethernet port built in, which is definitely a big plus. Now you have to buy a USB dongle for it to convert wired, but you know, for the sake of, especially if you're playing like Smash Brothers or something, you're definitely going to want to have it wired if possible. Mm. Their servers still suck, but you know, that'll at least help a little bit.
Yeah, you can only polish a turd so much.
Exactly. And that's it. Those are the differences. It's got a little bit bigger, a 3/4 of an inch bigger screen. That's a little bit better. It has quote unquote enhanced audio. So I guess the speakers aren't as shitty, but like there isn't much difference. So it's not like you have to run out and get this new Switch because you're missing out on things. There won't be exclusive games to it because it's no more powerful. So they can't just, you know, make games. Oh, this is an OLED only game. You know, it's really nothing aside from I think that the white Joy-Cons and the white dock look really fucking cool. Yeah, but this is launching on October 8th and it costs $350.
Yeah.
So it costs $50 more than the current Switch. So it's like that's kind of another reason not to buy it for me.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah,
if I could, maybe if I could trade in my current Switch and only and buy this for like $150, it might be worth doing. Yeah. But like, you know, there are very few games with cloud saves, and you can't easily back up all your data. So, like, you're gonna have a struggle with buying a new Switch and having to like get all your data back. It's just not intuitive, and it's just something that honestly. I don't expect this to sell well, but I know it's going to anyway. People are going to fucking buy it. You know, we can't kid ourselves.
Yeah. I feel like I feel like it's taken me a while to see it. And I feel like it's been going on for a while of just like how Nintendo, I feel, has become more and more toxic as a company, as far as like, you know, their confidence of their like console, like Nintendo specific games are only available on Nintendo consoles. So like they don't have to ever drop the price on them. You know, like $60 for Zelda now is going to be $60 like 5 years later, stuff like that. The fact that like the price, you know, when this console comes out at $350, the previous model Switch is still going to be $300, even though it's a what, 4 or 5 year old? Four.
Yep. What I will say is that if you think that Nintendo is getting more and more of a toxic company, then you have a very nostalgic view of Nintendo.
That's what I'm saying.
Back when we were kids.
No, and because it's true.
Nintendo was just as shitty when we were kids as they are now.
And yeah, no, and that's the thing I'm starting to realize. Like a lot of glass has been shattered for me recently with Nintendo, and I have a thing a lot to do with just like loving the Nintendo franchise, like the characters in it and stuff, and not really knowing much about the company, and just like now with my, you know, adult money and realizing like just everything about it. And it's like the fact that everyone's going to go out and buy a $350 console when they already have a $300 console and possibly the handheld as well. You know, like who fucking knows? And it's just like they could have done so much more with this and made it $350.
But the PS2 was the same way. I mean, the PS2 sold 155 million units, and that was because people bought multiple PS2s. And when your PS2 inevitably broke, you just bought a new one. So, like,
but when you look at the difference between a PS3, a PS4, and a PS5, they are obviously very different consoles that do much more powerful things. The same thing with the Xbox. Like, but when you look at the difference between, like, I think a GameCube, a Wii U, and a Switch, like, does it really feel that much different?
I think it feels way more different than the other ones.
I get what you're talking about, but Nintendo's built on that stagnation with their games.
Yeah.
Where, you know what you're getting with Nintendo. You know you're going to get a Mario, you're going to get a Zelda, you're going to get
and they're all going to be good.
Yeah, and they're going to be good games, but you know that they're not going to try to experiment in that way.
Right.
They do experiment with their hardware. Yeah, the hardware
gets the experiment. I mean, like you know, you had the GameCube with the tiny discs, and which made for no loading time in their games. Like that's something that people don't really think about that much. Yeah. GameCube games had like no loading, and they had, you know, that's when they started with the offset sticks. They had the C stick and everything. And then, the Wii had its motion controls. The Wii U had its stupid tablet. The Switch is handheld hybrid. So like, they experiment with their hardware. They don't experiment with their software.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Not in the slightest.
Yeah, but like also
and then it's kind of the opposite for the other consoles where they experiment software wise and they just don't bother. Do they just like, here's a different box, a different shaped box that's just more powerful than the last shaped box.
Here's practically a PC, a stylized PC in a box and whatnot. But you're right. And then it comes down to for them the software, the operating system basically, and the games offered for that system. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm not buying this. I know people are going to. It's going to sell well.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something.
I got one. I don't need another one.
Yeah, for me as someone who is in need of a Switch, I'm currently borrowing one, but I'm not going to be able to borrow it forever. It's that question of like, do I wait for this and pay that extra $50, or what's this to still like? What are the chances that I can buy a Switch now? With everything's going on, it's probably a little bit better now, but who knows? I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, you could go into a store and buy a Switch right today if you wanted to. They're in stock. I would spend $50 on these Joy-Cons and that dock alone.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could probably buy not the Joy-Cons because Joy-Cons
would be like $70 or $80 and that dock is probably going to be $60. So, like, realistically, I would be spending like after tax, like close to $150. So it's like, if I could just trade in my fucking Switch and spend $150 and upgrade it to the new one, then that'd probably be worth it because I want the nice looking cool new things. But we'll see. I think I will get the Joy-Cons though, because I do need another set of Joy-Cons, and I just really like this white color that they've got on them.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's pretty cool.
Wow.
Wow. All right. And I'm the racist one.
You sure are. All right. CJ, why don't you take us home? What do you got for us?
So I'm not usually one for conspiracy theories, but I love listening about and learning about a conspiracy theory. And I just want to throw something out for you. So let's say you're a software company.
A pancake.
Right. But there's a pancake and we put a pat of butter on top of it. Some syrup. Anyway.
Yeah, baby. Butter me, baby. Yeah.
Butter me,
Earth Daddy. Oh, gosh.
Say you're a software company like Microsoft and developers are in short supply, but also developers are needed badly and they're expensive. So what do you do? You
hire them straight out of college for next to nothing.
Damn right.
Boom,
right.
Got them.
But still, like they're out of college. They're not going to be up to the levels that you need them to be again, like for what you're looking to make and stuff. And you constantly want to innovate. So what do you do as a company? Well, you start branching out into other things like GitHub. where you have complete and total access to completely open public repos. And maybe you also invest $1 billion into an artificial intelligence company like GPT-3, open AI that we talked about not that long ago, that has like 175 billion something parameters and is like churning out, you know, amazing content and text and stuff. And that's just like mind blowing to hear about how, that this AI is able to write stuff. So you have, and then you have Stack Overflow that's been around since 2007. That's all publicly available information. You can web crawl. So you have over a decade's worth of people giving advice on Stack Overflow and code snippets. You have access to pretty much every single GitHub repository because you now own that company that you can now use to feed into this $1 billion investment of an artificial intelligence to teach it how to read code and write code. So what do? Well, you have Visual Studio Code, your code editor as Microsoft, and you say, I got a great idea. Let's help out the developers. IntelliSense isn't good enough for helping them write good code. Let's give them a tool built on this AI where they can literally just start typing a function name like, you know, get the, you know, add these two numbers together. You type in and then you start it and it will literally write the entire function out for you, you know, or like give me the highest number in this array. And then it'll, like, you can type it as a comment. You can type it as the name of the function.
Automation, like any most things that are going that way in the industry.
But the problem is that this is an AI. So like if you type get, it's just going to fill out the Mexicans out of my country.
Exactly. But it will be a perfectly written function now.
And it will work.
And it will work. But like, so you give it to the developers to use in this code editor that you've built for them, which they're now using it to generate, because you can, when, so what I'm getting at is there's this new product from GitHub called GitHub Copilot, where basically, like I said, I can start typing a comment in my code for like, I want to write a function that adds up two integers and gives me like whether or not it's an even or an odd. I can write that as a comment. I hit the next line and it'll give me like, here's our best guess of what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. I can also click a button that says, here are 10 different examples of that function that you're looking for or something. Or I can say, I want to write, I'm doing a React app or something, and I want when I click on this button, I want you to start at one and go up to, you know, two each time. So I want like 1, 3, 5, 7 every time I click on that button, and it will write the code for that button. You can go to the HTML and say, okay, now make that button, and it will write out the HTML for that button, connecting it to your backend for that. And you are now continuing to train this model by choosing what you believe are the best functions based off of what they've gotten off of GitHub and Stack Overflow, to the point that eventually you can just give this to a consumer who wants to say, I want to make a web app that does this, this, and this, and this AI will write it for you. And guess what? Now you don't have to pay for developers anymore because an AI is doing it all for you. Because in the end, code is... It can only be one of certain ways, but it doesn't matter how the code, as long as the code is working in the back, the person in the front doesn't care. You know, they're just clicking on the buttons, moving the shit around. So like this is, we are currently looking at developers training themselves out of a job to be replaced. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's like any other job. It's just evolving to the next step. So those developers will most likely need to get different abilities.
I mean, in the end,
they'll most likely be writing code for or helping out the AI fill in the blanks, like automation does for QA,
somebody's gonna have to look at it.
But you still need a person in there,
right,
to work like a person does.
And the big thing with the three of us, the fact that I am a developer and I'm talking to QA people, my job is in danger, where I think you guys you know, somebody's going to have to watch the AI. Like, they're going to build it. Somebody's going to have to go in and test it. Like you said, a person is going to have to touch it and make sure everything is correct. Somebody's going to have to configure it for what the
Yeah, but that's going to expand the role of quality assurance when it comes to these things. Like, I'm already, you know, having to learn Java so that I can write automation scripts. Right. So, like, I'm already doing your job for you. So, in reality, you're already
You're going to be demoted to QA. Come, bitch.
Yeah. But the thing is, so I was looking at, I've seen a few YouTubers that have access to this already and have been using it. And, you know, like I said, you can have it write you a web app. You can have it write you whatever you want, a Python script or something. But you can just as easily go in and say, hey, I've got this function now written out. Write me a unit test for it. And now it'll write you that unit test based on the frameworks you have in there. So it's writing all of this automation, all of this shit that, like, we're all learning and doing, to the point, like, it's going to come back down to, like, literally just, like, manual testing to make sure things are working and configuring it. So
thing is, it'll free up more time to work on other projects. It'll just change what you're
things
doing.
Will become more creative. I think it's going to free up more time to be more creative when you're not worrying about the minutiae of how to write an app.
This is just going to make creating malware so much easier. Yeah. Like, I want a script that crashes Windows. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, it's done. And you just send that to somebody and be like, here, check out this new program I wrote in OpenAI.
Oh, shit.
Bam, your computer's done. Like, and then this is going to open up malware. And how long until someone literally types the word, I want the virus from Office Space.
Yeah.
Like, someone's going to try and create that by themselves and then get arrested. Yeah.
I want an app that can hack into the electric system, our national grid.
Well, I'm guessing.
Which shouldn't be hard in Texas.
Yeah. Well, it should, because it's not on.
That's true. Yeah.
They've already
can't do it if they unplugged it.
Yeah. Do you know what the difference between Texas and taxes are?
What?
Taxes keep the electrical grid going.
That's pretty good.
But I'm chill.
We're sorry for you Texas people. We know it's not your fault.
So, you can't listen to us anyway. Your electric's not working.
Fucking got him.
I think in the end, this GitHub Copilot is pretty fucking awesome to witness.
Like, and like, this is it's the same thing like when we were talking about GPT-3, where it's like, this could be huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think one of the when I was watching, they were showing off that example of like, I want a summary of this article for a second grader. Mm-hmm. And the GPT-3, is exactly what kind of like vocab to use for a second grader. And the fact that it can take that sentence and turn it into something. And again, 175 billion parameters are built into this thing. And who knows like how this thing will advance, because like, again, everything just comes down to syntax and code is easy. You know, it really is. If you're a computer, code is easy. But the big thing about this is, if this gets big, especially because it's attached to VS Code, which is probably like the number one code editor now for developers, it's going to put Stack Overflow out of business, because people no longer have to search fucking Google.
You're not going to have to look for people.
Yeah, it's all at your fingertips.
Where before the internet and you still were coding, you had to know your shit because there was no looking. It was either that or you had to ask someone higher than you.
Yeah,
or a textbook or something like that. Where now for us, it's how's your Google foo?
Like, exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And how soon it's just going to be, can you write a sentence?
Yeah.
Like, that's all you need to do. So like American history for eighth graders, and it'll be like, the Civil War was not so lit. No cap.
it'll just evolve what we're doing as technology people.
Yeah.
It'll just change what we're doing, and we'll have to get smarter.
Yeah. I'm
or get
really
left behind. I mean, it's like any job, like back in the day when people put cars together by hand, they were just nailing shit together. But now they have mostly bots for that. And now those people had to figure out how those bots worked and be trained on it and stuff. So,
well, remember Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire? Uncle Ben was complaining and he was like, computer analyst. He's like, oh, jobs are getting replaced by computers, and even computers need analysts these days. And it's like, yep, you old bitch.
Yeah, now we're the old bitch being replaced. So yeah, it's just another, you know, you got to keep up with the times or you're going to get left behind.
I don't mind being replaced as long as I get my UBI. Like, if you want to automate my job, at least pay me monthly to get rid of me. I mean, I'm fine with that. I'll retire early. Fired. Yeah. Probably.
Hashtag fuck you, pay me.
Knowing this country.
All right. That is all for us this week. Thank you for listening. To find our social media links, previous episodes, or leave us a voice message, please visit us at genfailcast.com. And if you like what you've heard from us, please follow us on Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Everybody say sheesh.